Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret to
care. Is it okay? All right. So good to see you in the place of worship. You're at the right time, in the right place, with? Amen. Amen. So good to see you. We have a few announcements. You can find many meetings scheduled in the bulletin and some information over there. And I want to mention a couple of things. Tomorrow, we will have the church conference. It is not reporting something to the district or conference. It is the time for celebration. All we have done in the past 1 year, especially in this pandemic. So tomorrow we will have a church conference. Step Parish will gather at 6, and church conference will start at 7. So Step Parish, you can come at 6, and the other people, 7. In the fellowship hall, and I made a video clip. Oh, I was so happy to see that. So we will watch that. And next week, we will have Trunk or Treat and All Saints Sunday. I'm checking all the people who passed away in the past 12 months, and I have about 8 to 9 people. If you lost your beloved one in the past 1 year, please give me the name and the picture. Next week, we will name their names and celebrate their lives. And don't forget about Trunk or Treat. It's going to be fun. Okay, and today, Katie will lead us in our worship. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Please join me in our call to worship. Sing a new song of gratitude and praise. Great is the Lord, and great is God's love. Let the heavens be glad, let the mountains rejoice. Our opening hymn is Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
It It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. As a family, what joy and prayer request do you want to share and pray together? Oh, I like your smile. Thank you. Many of you know Chris Babel. She usually comes for the 8 a.m. service. During the week, she lost her daughter-in-law. And yesterday, there was a visitation and funeral. So please remember Chris in your prayers. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. She took 2 weeks of medical leave, and now she's here with good news. I'm so happy. Thank you for the good news. Thank you. Yes. Oh, thank you for sharing. Please remember Larry in your prayers. Thank you. Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, I'm gonna expect you, all of you, to come tomorrow afternoon. How about that? Okay. And other joys and concerns? Yes. Oh, I thought he was raising his hand to say. Okay. It's almost the end of harvest season, and Mark Melton, he said he's done with his harvest. That's really good. That's really good news. So, but still, there are some people working in the field. Please remember them in your prayers. And you see the picture, right? That was yesterday. That was beautiful. Our confirmation class, and mentors, we went to visit many of our Wesley families who are mostly staying at home and who couldn't come because of many reasons. And we went to visit them and sing and praise God and share the fellowship. That was beautiful. And that made my day. So. And they have only 2 months left. So please continue to have them in your prayers. Yes. Now let's turn to God and pray together. Almighty God, you are the God of all nations. You are moving all history toward your purposes and plan. Even though nations and the authority wield economic, political, and military power that seems to rule the day, we trust in you, Lord. You are stronger and you are in control and charge. We pray for all the people who sit in the seat of power so that they may learn your way of mercy and kindness. In our community, Lord, teach us to work together for the common good, caring for our neighbors and growing in understanding across every division. Lord, give us eyes to see and ear to hear how and where we are moving and changing all things. Help us to look for your kingdom in the ways of children and others who are vulnerable among us. And humble us so that we can learn from those who are meek. Lord, you are the life-giving God. When our lives are dry, we trust that you can restore us to life, making us green again and fruitful. For anyone living with depression, chronic pain, or long-term illness, Lord, we ask for your hand, your healing, and tender care. For those who are seeking employment, we pray for new opportunities. Dear God, no matter how small our faith is, we pray that you will give us a chance to grow and come close to you. We need you, Lord. Every day we need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. And let us sing together Amazing Grace, verse 1, 2, and 4.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Remembered as promised good to me, his word my hope secure. As long as life endures.
Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 20 through 28. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. So these days, we have been talking about what defines who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. So 2 weeks ago, I was wearing Superman shirt. You remember that? And I talked about Superman and our eyesight. And after the service, I received a gift. Superman socks. So we talked about, and we have the picture, both of them, Clark Kent and Superman, and it was about what we see. And last week we talked about words, what we say, and what we speak, what we write. Yes, what we speak and what we write defines who we are, not only as a person, but also as a Christian. And today I want to talk about what we eat. Some of you might have heard, you are what you eat. Have you heard about that? So when I was little, I loved Cheetos a lot. I had a lot of Cheetos, and my mom didn't like that because she thought it was a junk snack, and there was another reason she really didn't like it. There was a sticker, tiny sticker, maybe 2 by 2 inches. And I put that stickers on my mother's mirror, on her makeup table. Not just one or two, probably I think a few dozen, maybe 60 or 80. So that covered almost half, a little bit over one third of all her makeup mirror. So she really didn't like that. And I was really upset whenever she tried to remove those stickers. And my parents still have that mirror. It is not in my mom's room, but my room. She put that in my room. And I remember my mom kept talking to me, "Please, stop eating Cheetos. That's not your meal. At least stop putting that sticker on my mirror." And she talked to me, "You are what you eat. Have some vegetable. Have some carrot and lettuce, onions." "Yes, Mom." A pastor I know, he loves hot dog. And every year, a few weeks ahead of his birthday, his grandmother asked him what he would like to have for his birthday. And then he shouted, "Hot dog! Honey, something special. What do you want?" "Special hot dog." His grandma didn't like that because his birthday was also his grandma's birthday. And I heard his grandma said to him something similar. "You are what you eat." While writing my sermon, I was wondering what your favorite meals are. So I sent a text to many of you, and I received about 35 people their text. Thank you so much. And I made a Wordle. Last week I talked about Wordle cloud, right? I made that again. So let's see. Can you see that? You can find. So your favorite meals, many of us, steak with mashed potato. So that's why you see potato, 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 potato so many times. And lasagna, chicken, tacos, pizza, and chocolate. Yes, you heard me right. One person said, "Chocolate is a meal." Okay, I respect that. I get it. So you can see, and you also find family. Family. Many of us said their favorite meals are something their mom made or something they share with their family. That is so sweet. And I'm with you. I love pizza, I love steak, I love curry, but my favorite meal or dish is anything with kimchi. I don't know how many of you know that kimchi. Rice with kimchi, spaghetti with kimchi, steak with kimchi, and whatever. And if I have 100 kinds of kimchi before me, and there is only one made by my mom, I think I can find which one is made by my mom. Because that is more than a meal. Whenever I received your text with your favorite meals, I could smile because I could imagine of you. Oh yes, oh yes. You are what you eat. And there is one thing we eat the most in general as Christians. The one thing that serves us the most fundamental meal which defines who we are. It is not pizza. Sorry, I don't find pizza in the Bible. Not steak, lasagna, or kimchi. It is the Holy Communion. The bread and wine that serve our Holy Communion. If there is only one meal that we need to keep having in our faith journey, I believe that would be the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the sacramental Holy Communion. And that is what we Christians eat the most, more than any other, anything else. If we become what we eat, we would become the Holy Communion, living communion. It is something we participate in, and it is the promise of God, the avenue through which we encounter the living God in remembrance of God's love through Jesus Christ's sacrifice for each one of us. Then how does that work? How does it happen? It's mystery. Holy mystery. It is under the office of the Holy Spirit. Somehow, mysteriously, when we participate in this meal, we encounter the living God. We encounter the living body of Jesus Christ. And this is fundamental, very key to define who we are. It defines who we are. A lot of people have been trying to explain about the Holy Communion, and some people talked about this in terms of Eucharist and the Lord's Last Supper or Communion, whatever we call it. The least thing I can tell you, it is we are what we eat. So John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, he celebrated the Holy Communion every day in the morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, so that he was reminded of God's love through Jesus Christ every day with his friends. Some churches, like us, we have the communion every Sunday. Some church may have one time a month, once a month. But we believe we are not a denomination, but we are one church, we are one movement inspired by God and Jesus around the Holy Communion. That's why we do this often. No matter where we live, no matter at what church we celebrate the Holy Communion, we are celebrating one Holy Communion, reminding of Jesus Christ as one body. And we say, Lord, it is what we eat. This is what we become in your grace in our faith journey together, to become more like you every day. So whenever I read the communion liturgy, it says, God, make these precious bread and wine the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and make us the body of Christ redeemed by his blood as we take them. Every time we gather together at this table, we pray that we might become what we eat from the Lord's table, and we might become new creation. We, disciples of Jesus Christ, might transform the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we say that we believe that we become what we eat, the Holy Communion. Then what does it look like? What would it look like that the world see for what we eat more than anything else? What would it look like if we would become the living body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood? For this, I looked at the Bible about the table Jesus had. The things he ate, the places he ate, and the people with whom he ate. The good news is, Jesus ate a lot. He loved to eat. I like that. And he preferred to call himself the bread of life. He prepared for the feast many times, sometimes for thousands of people. And he had feasts in many places. And he preferred to give food to the hungry so that they might not be hungry again. Wherever he went, he had food. He had food. And we know we had a meal with the least. I mean, he had a meal with the least and the marginalized so many times. In Matthew chapter 9, he healed many people with physical illness and preached so many times to so many people. At night, he felt so hungry and he called Matthew. And they went to a house where many tax collectors were having a meal. Tax collectors, they were called the sinners. Pharisees, they were upset. Okay, this guy, Jesus, is now having a meal together with the sinners. Tax collectors, who are they? I know we love IRS, right? In our time, no? No? But 2,000 years ago, tax collectors were not nice like IRS. Oh, yeah. Tax collectors, they were sinners and betrayers. But Jesus went to them and had a meal with them so many times. And Jesus called Matthew, tax collector, sitting at the tax booth. And this Matthew became one of the disciples. Not only having a meal with the least and the marginalized, Jesus became a friend of them. And we need to think about this. Who are the people around us whom we think the least? And who are the people whom I do not want to have a meal together? And we need to think the other side of Jesus' table. Jesus had a meal with the Pharisees as well. We have some kind of bias. Pharisees are all bad, bad, bad. No, it is not. It is not. Jesus met many leaders of Israel as well, and many times he was fighting and arguing against them, and he pointed to what they were wrong in their doing and taught them what they were supposed to do, but he never abandoned them who had power and who led the people of Israel in a wrong way. Jesus embraced them as well because they were also God's people. And that's why when we pray for our brothers and sisters who are oppressed, we also pray for the people oppressing so that they may learn God's love and God's will, so that they may have a chance to repent and return to God in loving our sisters and brothers. That's the meaning of Jesus' table. That's the meaning of Jesus' table. We sang a hymn today, Amazing Grace. We love the hymn. It was written by John Newton. He was a slave trader. He was a bad guy. He was a slave trader. He was the captain of many slave ships, not just owning one or two slaves. And he considered other type of human being as an item or livestock. And he treated them so bad. But later, he became a Christian. He heard about the good news, God's love, and he became a Christian. And he repented all he had done as a slave owner and trader. That is the power of Jesus' table. That's the power of Jesus' table. Later, he repented, and he became an active abolitionist. He was against the slavery for the rest of his life. That is the power. And we need to ask ourselves again the same question. Who are the people around us whom we think are using their power in the wrong way? Can we embrace them? Can we invite them to the table? Can we invite them in our conversation and build up relationship with them? Both sides. In our gospel reading today, Jesus knew who was going to betray him and who would bring him to the trial. And finally, he knew he was going to be sentenced, but Jesus embraced him and invited him to the table. If I were Jesus, that's not going to happen. Or probably it's really hard. I know he's going to be, betrayer. He's going to betray me and I'm going to be sentenced to death. But Jesus. In Jesus' time, that means you are still my friend. I pray for you and I have your back. It is very easy and pleasant to be a friend of those whom we love, but never easy to the other side. Not only the least, but also those who cannot stand with. But my hope and prayers are around Jesus' table. We are what we eat. We become the living body of Jesus Christ to the world, as we come and receive the body of Christ. Amen.